that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll once more. When it does,
when
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a beautiful, sunshiny, green grass, blue sky radio ranch this morning, this July 2nd, 2022. What a beautiful day this early summer. Had some rain, pretty good rain a couple days ago, and it's still damp. And we're thankful for that. But we welcome you here this morning. It's a live program this morning. We will replay it Monday night and a couple other times, but it's live this morning. We've got a full crew on this morning. Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We it's encouraging to us, I can tell you, each and every one of us, to be able to gather with like-minded Christians and to, have a sounding board. That's always been part of our history, our people getting together and talking about things. And, when you text things, we get to do that as well sometimes, but it's just not the same. And there's so much going on in everybody's life. Busy, go, go, go. There's more and more to be done, and more it seems like that needs to be done. And it's hard sometimes to just be still and wait on the Lord. But I see this hour that we have an opportunity to gather as an opportunity for just that, to sit back, take a breath, have your coffee, have your Bible, and have some good fellowship with like-minded believers. And that's what we do. That's the program. The phone lines are open this morning, and there's plenty to talk about, but we do our best to open up with a word of prayer with not only this, but anything and everything we do. And so, Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. And Father, we thank you for the times that we're living in, and we thank you that we serve a mighty and just God. And we cry out to you and ask, Father, that you save America again, Father. We pray, Father, for you to just do the work that needs to be done. As we cry out to you, we know that there is salvation in no other name, and we know that you're going to save this country in no other name. And we come before you and we ask, Father, that you do a mighty and an awesome work, Father, as we know that our enemies are waging war against your people. Father, we hold up that shield of faith and call for these fiery darts of the evil one to be extinguished, and we just ask, Father, that you war with those that war against us. We find comfort in that, and we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give us a call. Again, 307-745-5913. And, guys, I didn't see this in the mainstream news. Don't watch a lot of it, but I did see that our president got about three good sentences out without blubbering through it, but it's kind of concerning. He was at Biden, they had a NATO press conference, had big NATO meetings this last week. Lots going on. The 101st has been airborne, has been deployed to Europe, I think the first time since D-Day. And so interesting things going on there. Ships going over to the Mediterranean, F-35 squadrons going to England. It's a gearing up for war. It sure seems like that. And but at this NATO news conference this past week, President Biden was asked about the increase in oil costs and energy development and what appears to be a pending food shortage. Of course, we've kind of been talking about that for the last year and a half, as we've seen that coming. But so the reporter asked the president, and he says, well, I think there's a, and this is a quote, I think there's a lot of things we can do and we will do. Now, talk about a politician's answer. Oh, there's lots of things you can do and things we will do. But, you know, but there's nothing given. He goes on and says, but the bottom line is the reason gas prices are up is because of Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. The reason why the food crisis exists is because of Russia. Russia not allowing grain to get out of the Ukraine. And so I think this is pertinent because again, we know Biden is just a talking head when he can get a couple sentences out, and he's just repeating and putting forth what the whatever you call it, the deep state, the deep left, the hard left, those that that have their plans that are in those positions of authority right now. But I think this is pertinent because it's showing that where the scapegoat is, who's being blamed. You can't just declare war just because of a little invasion in a country or a peacekeeping force or whatever it is that's going on over there in the Ukraine. If you have everybody's getting fed up with high gas prices, except the Saudis. They're pretty happy. They've got more gold-plated Mercedes ordered. Going to be building more skyscrapers and more islands in the Gulf over there. They're real happy. The Saudis are. But we've got to have that scapegoat, and it's just in the Babylonian realm. But I think it impacts each and every one of us. And so I think it's something to be aware of. We've talked several times, and I don't have the answers. I don't know, how all this fits together. I don't. I see some of these individual pieces as I think all of us do. And but I sure see a couple of these pieces coming together, that they're prepping and trying to get that in the public consciousness, that it's Russia's fault gas prices are high. It's Russia's fault that we have supply chain issues and food shortages and things like that. So anyway, I don't believe it is, but it seems like that's what they're sure wanting to get out as the, you know, as the meanie, as the bad guy.
Well, you know it's bad about Russia, don't you? They're going back on the gold standard in China. There's like 100 countries that are joining in this, and they'll sell you stuff, but they want to be paid in gold. Now he's attacking the Federal Reserve and the international banker. This is what's really going on. And the Ukraine is involved in that, and the Bidens are over there. I mean, they're evil. The leaders are evil. I'm not sure the people aren't, all of them, but whatever. But this is a banking war again, just like World War One and Two. It's the paper system that we have is nothing backing it against the, you know, a gold standard. And ours has been gone since the 60s. It was probably gone before that, but that's when the last time you could cash in your paper for silver. But this is what's really going on, and that's why, you know, I know people that watch that Fox News, and they're all just, hey, think Putin's the problem. Well, Putin's the only guy that I know that makes any sense at the moment. You know, he don't like queers. He just wants a gold standard and everything kind of right, what I know. I'm no big fan of him or nothing, but the problem is we're wrong, you know, and he's leading us right down the bloody trail of no fuel. They're cutting everything off. But, you know, I would say, just like Nebuchadnezzar, Biden is God's servant. So I maybe God's a little angry, actually. Bring her down to it.
Yeah, I think it's part of the change that we're seeing. And and that's what I'd like people to see. You know, the way things have always been are just not the way that they're always going to be. They're just not. I think the enemy thinks that they've got it wrapped up, that they're just continuing to steal, kill, and destroy. But the prayers are being offered, prayers for our leaders, prayers for godly leaders, the pistol prayer that that we pray, that, you know, prayers for that DC sorcery to cease. And it has been. It's not... you know, more and more people are seeing through this, and are seeing that, just like you're saying, that just because the administration or the government puts it out does not mean that it's that it is the way it is.
Well, the government's become a god to people. They, you know, obey Caesar, obey Caesar. Look at all the so-called churches that shut down during the pandemic. You know, a few of them stayed open, but they took a lot of wrath. But that's exactly what Caesar don't make our rules. But if you're in a church that's a 501c and your gaffes are tax deductible, you're in a political whorehouse because you've attached yourself to the whore of Babylon like it talks in Revelation. That is what you're connected to. You know, and I seen an example of Valley of Dry Bones the other day. This woman comes in and she got a grandson that's a sodomite. You know, and she said, well, the Bible won't say nothing about sodomites. You know, she didn't use, she called them gays. But, well, this Baptist, he said, sure does. And he didn't know where it was. But a couple of days later, he come back and told me where I could find it in Leviticus, you know. So it provoked him to go look. But, of course, that's the Old Testament he looked into, you know. But my point is, this is triggering some people to actually think. So, and the government has absolutely nothing to give you that it didn't take from someone else. I think it was Daniel Boone that said he had not one dime of the public money supposed to be given for charity, but I'll give my whole paycheck, be the first one to do it. You know, and he only had one term in Congress, so they didn't like that either. So it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, Yeah, I ran across a quote the other day, and it was by John Calvin, and I don't know, I haven't heard a lot of his quotes, but this one really stuck in my head, and it was, it says, when God wants to judge a nation, he gives them wicked rulers. And I thought about this scripture, Proverbs 29:16. It says, when the wicked increase, wrongdoing increases, but the righteous will see their downfall. And, you know, we look at this administration, we want to, and a lot of people want to blame the administration, this and that. You know, it's the president's fault, it's Congress's fault, it's this fault. It's, you know, the thing is I believe just that, that, you know, it's chastisement for a wicked nation. Now, is everybody wicked? No, absolutely not, and I'm not saying that. There is a remnant, and that's what the scripture is talking about. When the wicked increase, the wrongdoing increases, but the righteous will see their downfall. And we just need to make sure that we're part of that righteous group, that we want to see their downfall. there's a lot of people that just, you know, we can't do anything about it, we can't do this, we can't do that. No, we can be righteous, and we can stand for what we believe in. You know, there's other scriptures I've been thinking about a lot. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And, you know, so do we have the Spirit of the Lord in this land? You know, this Roe versus Wade overturn, that's a huge deal. And there's Christians and patriots and everything that are fighting against that because it's an attack on a freedom that they feel like that they should have. And they're missing the big picture. You know, abortion is murder. Life begins at conception, plain and simple. And, you know, people need to get that through their head. And they, you know, like to complain about their liberties taken away. Well, no, it's given liberties back to a human life. And you see things like that, and there's a lot of this stuff that it's becoming more and more evident that it's war that we are in. It's spiritual warfare, it's physical warfare, it's economic warfare, it's food shortage and import wars, like Hoskins talked about what we were going to see. You know, we see these some of the biggest countries that were exporters of food for the whole world, Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, they are not exporting food right now. A lot of those countries that these countries were exporting food to, they're turning to the United States right now and demanding us to supply their food. And, you know, we're in a drought situation, you know, the corn situation, the hay situation, the cattle situation, I mean, basically all of our commodities, we're in a drought. And, but at the same time, our administration is going ahead and making promises that, you know, we're going to fill in the gap, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And a lot of these Christians are saying, oh, this is just great. We're going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world and fill their gap with their food shortages. Well, you know, we're getting set up for famine in this land. But at the same time, you know, in the midst of it, I've talked to some wheat farmers that, they said even with the fuel prices and everything like that, they're going to be making more money this year than they have in a long time, at $10 a wheat, or $10 a bushel wheat. It's interesting, but I just want to encourage people that, hey, we need to be that, we need to be those righteous people. We need to, you know, be telling people, we need to be telling them the truth, you know. And as we approach the July 4th, I think it's a good time. The book that one of the dad's first books that he wrote was The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, you know, and how America is in the Bible. It is, it's an exciting time, and it's an exciting time to be able to share some of those things with other people. You know, the remnant that has a true gift right there when they understand that this land is his land. This is the apple of God's eye, and he's not going to forsake it. And there is a chastisement that is going on, but it is, you know, God uses that chastisement to turn people back to him, to clean up a land, to remove the wicked. I mean, there's a lot of things that come forth from that, And, you know, we just need to be like those Gideon soldiers of old that smile at the future and trust in him. And but continue to, you know, make an effort to be part of that righteous group. You know, check what you got going on in your life and, you know, see where you stand. And constantly get back on track.
You keep bringing up stand. And this morning I looked and it was 76 degrees. It made me think about 1776 and, you know, our people standing in and what it is to stand. You know, standing isn't just a, I guess you get it started with one motion, but a lot of times it takes more effort to just stand and stand still than it does to move. And, you know, we should start by standing. For sure, but then we need to push forwards and not just stay where we're at. You know, and that is a constant everyday effort. Whenever you're at the hardware store and the little checkout person, you know, charges you for one hammer when you got two hammers in your bag and you don't open your mouth, you know, that's a little thing and it matters. And so you tell them and you pay them like what you're supposed to. You do the right thing. And you do that every single day. And it does make a difference. You push back. You know, whenever you hear somebody speaking negatively and they're down in the dumps, try to lift them up. And, you know, this is God's land. This is God's kingdom. We are still his people. He is still the God of miracles, the God of salvation and redemption. And we were talking before the broadcast, you know, we are in slavery. We're in bondage because of our sin. And that's not normally a fun place to be. But it's something that our people have been through before and we can get through again. But it takes following God. It takes having that mindset of doing something. First crying out. And knowing that we don't know what to do without him. But through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and following the blueprints that he set before us, praise be, we do know what to do. And we know how to attack the situation.
Well, the gospel is the good news. And I don't think a few years ago I gave a message in Bronson about where's the joy, and that was exactly for me because I was a doom and gloomer. You know, I said this ain't right. And that was for me, and that's the gospel that we have. It's we need to start believing that it's the good news. God will not be mocked, and this is I don't know where this is going exactly, but it is the good news, and we have to keep tell us that every morning. You know, I need to remind myself this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. That's how we need to start our days, and it's not for the guy down the street, it's for me.
Amen.
So, and then you start living it, and then your face gets a little smile on it.
Yeah. Then we can. Then and only then can we help the guy down the street. You know? Then we can be that shining light in this dark world. But we have to follow what that word says first. And like you said, Paul, how many people do you affect in a positive way when you're all doom and gloom? When we read through the scriptures,
everybody.
Yeah, there's certainly doom and gloom in there. But when you read, if you know, anywhere you read, if you read a little bit before it or a little bit after it, God always gives, he always gives the way out. You know, I opened my book up, the beginning of Hosea, the end of Daniel. Daniel 12:1 says, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Well, there you go. And it tells us how to save ourselves, what to do, what not to do. And Remnant, all these things that we talk about, this, you know, it is, as we've said before, and I think we need to always... We need to be reminded. It is Babylon in America that's falling. It's Babylon in the world that is coming down. It's this one world order that the enemy thinks they've got tied up. They think they're putting some of the final nails in the coffin. But it's them that will fall in the pit that they dig. And it just, you know, just like Pharaoh and his army, it had to get to that Red Sea predicament for that Red Sea deliverance to happen. But remember what happened. God's people made it across, made it through what seemed like you couldn't get through, the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh and his people tried it, they were destroyed. And you know, I think that's what we're facing. That's what's coming up, is that it's a Red Sea that's coming, and that God's people, those that are faithful to him, those that trust him, that have been practicing these things, make it through. And the enemy doesn't.
Well, back to what Jason was saying, the opportunity to God's people that are looking to him and looking to that, we see opportunity. Without Goliath standing up and mocking God, for days on end, we wouldn't have that faith-building story of a boy taking out this behemoth of a man that was a skilled warrior. But the opportunity was there, and David took that opportunity and said, "You're not going to mock my God." And so that's the way we need to look at it. Everything around us is an opportunity. What can I do for God today?
Yes.
And whenever we look at God as not just this cold, hard entity, but as a friend, as a father, as a brother, all these different relationships that that are so complex. And listening to Mike Platjay sing about, you know, Jesus, you're not just Lord, you're my friend. I mean, that's we have a friend in Christ, and we need to have that relationship of him being a friend, having someone that we can confide in and look to for advice and for answers and, to guide us. That's pretty powerful.
Amen. Well, Remnant, it's a live program this morning, and the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And if you want to give us a call.
Yeah, Josh, what's the mentality of the people down in your neck of the woods?
Everybody knows something is going to happen, and it can't keep going like what it's going. For sure, I mean, it's kind of that smell. You know, everybody can smell it. But everybody can't exactly identify what it is or what it's going to be, but everybody knows there's something. And a lot of folks are talking about, you know, what is wrong. The Roe versus Wade decision. This was a big decision. Folks are a little skeptical, trying to figure out, okay, what's their next play on this, you know, because just to go from out of nowhere, you know, having this decision and what have you. Not that they're not thankful for it. And, you know, a blessing is a blessing regardless. But there's a lot of folks on the left that are just completely up in arms and spitting fire and ready to fight over the Roe versus Wade. And then you got folks on the right that were like, you know, hey, your body, your choice. Well, y'all were trying to stab us with needles last year, so don't want to hear that this year, you know. So that I guess that is a big point of ignition right now around here.
Well, it's you know, it's always shocking. It's interesting how you were so close to some of those refineries, and they make your fuel, and they make your gasoline, they make your diesel right there, and you guys also got some of the highest in the nation also.
Yeah, that's what, like I told you, I'd leave up there in Colorado and come home, and fuel's higher here than it is in, up in the mountains, you know, and I'm looking at the Gulf of Mexico down there, you know, but like I said, oil pipelines and wells, but it's all political. It's all a one big machine. It's all tied together. It's all follow the money all the way back to that banking system. And and it's sure not set up for us. That's a fact.
I've seen some pictures of demonstrations, you know, people that are for abortion, and there just wasn't that many people there. They had trouble drumming up a big crowd, you know, like to fill the streets and stuff. I think down deep a lot of people know it's the right thing to do. So there's the militants, but I don't think there's that many as we think there are. So.
Well, the percentage of people that would say, I wish my mom had had an abortion, is probably that high, because everybody that's here pretty much wants to be here. And that's not an all-inclusive statement for the most part. So I agree with you on that response for sure.
Yeah, it's never the amounts that that the media portrays. You know, it's not. So many times they just use stock photos, and it's not. It was like the some of the back in 20, some of the political rallies that happened, and they would have them for O'Biden, and there'd be 12 people there, in contrast to the 20 and 30,000 that were gathering on the other side. And so, yeah, I think the people's hearts are, especially as they see these things, I hope so anyway, that they're that they are turning back.
Well, the line, look, just like that guy said, he went and looked in the Bible where it said that. Now, that's something new because, you know, the Valley of Dry Bones, you talk to religious people, they haven't got a clue what sin is, and they don't know their Bible at all. I mean, you talk about dry bones, I mean, they're spiritually dead. They don't know it. They can't defend it. But that guy went and looked for it. Now, that's a really good sign, I thought. And this is what's happened. You know, we'll go back to where we are. We have the law written in our heart, and our people will go back there. You know, and the children, you know, you talk about abortion. Abortion, or that's what they call abortion, isn't it? That's murder. You know, abortion is actually birth control, where you know, the children are a gift from God. Get that back in the Israelites' head, and you'd have a whole new army and workforce. So, murder's murder and abortion's something else, so in my take. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, when you hear these ungodly talking about it, it's all reproductive health care is how they word it. Reproductive health care, which is just an outright lie. No, it's murder. And I think that is coming into more and more people's mindset that, listen, it's not reproductive health care. I was down doing some printing down with Jason yesterday, and coming home, flipping through the radio and listened to the little National Public Radio. They're in an outrage. And they were talking to the New Mexico governor, and that was the term she was using. We will guarantee that there is reproductive health care in the state of New Mexico for all that want it. And it's like, you know, it's murder. It just ought not to be. And the next article on here talked about how a report from some university said that baby deaths will increase as a result of this. And it's like, okay. And they just throw this stuff out there. I guess some of the sheep will just, you know, they just blindly listen to it and repeat it and say, yeah, women should have reproductive health care, not realizing or not thinking it through that that means, you know, using abortion as birth control and sacrificing to Molech, if they want to look that up in the Bible. You know, I'm encouraged in 2 Chronicles 14, it talks about Asa. King Asa. He came in, did good and right in the sight of the Lord. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He tore down the sacred pillars. He cut down the Asherim, which was the female deity worships, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and observe the law and the commandments. And he did all that, and it says, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. And I just have to wonder, especially in light of, you know, of the outrage that we've seen in the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's not tens of thousands marching in the streets, but there have been churches that have been burned and graffitied and spray painted. And I just have to wonder if it was like that in Asa's day. I'm sure they did. I'm sure that, you know, in the 8 or 10 good kings that Israel and Judah had, that when the good king came in and enabled these reforms, that there were those that were against it then. There were those that still wanted the temple prostitutes, that still wanted to do this. But it says here, he even removed the mother of King Asa from the position of queen mother because she had made this Asherah. And in the physical things that we can do, we see that what worked in the past, and it'll work again. It's a guideline for us, that's for sure.
Paul, you're right in the fact of whenever you call it murder, that carries a different weight with people, and that tends to open people's eyes more. And that is what it is murder. When you water it down with some other term and try to be PC with it, then it takes away from it. And so I believe you're exactly right. We need to call it what it is. Murder. Murdering unborn babies is what we're doing. I was just going to bring up that there are also groups, private companies, that have went above and beyond to fight for this lawful murder, and have offered to go out of their way and pay for their employees to travel to other states that in which murder is legal. And I would encourage folks to look up that list of companies and to not do business with them. Don't put your money into those establishments, because you don't want to be part of helping make that happen.
Amen.
And they've made a stand. They've drawn the line. That is where they stand. And either you stand with them or against them.
Amen. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Phil with us. Phil, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about, Babylon. Back in the 80s or thereabouts, or 90s, I read a book called The Empire of the City. And basically it talked about London and the fact that it was the nerve center. There's a square mile financial district inside London. It sets the price of gold and oil and all that stuff every day. It's basically the financial nerve center of the entire world. Well, in Revelation, it talks about that great city being burned with fire. And lo and behold, the Russians threatened to nuke London this past week. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, thanks, Phil. Where are you calling from, Phil?
Northwest Ohio.
All right. Well, great. Well, good to hear. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for the comments.
Yep. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open. 307-745-5919. 1:3.
You know, all these big box stores and Amazon and all—they're all in control of the enemy. You know, there's the people that would have promised to send their employees to get an abortion and stuff like that. But these are all controlled by the corporations that are attached to Babylon. And, you know, and if you can buy local, do it and destroy that system, because all the profit from a box store goes to headquarters and it don't stay in the community. They create jobs and stuff like that, but they're also sucking the blood out of us. So take care of your neighbor if you can.
That's right. And if you'll look at labels, you can find Made in America stuff, even at Walmart. You have to look. But especially places like Ace Hardware, they have a huge amount of certain brands that are made in America, and that's one way to, certainly to be aware of where you spend your money. Like was mentioned, you know, if Disney is, and I think they're one of the companies that you were talking about, Josh, that if Disney is willing to say, oh, we'll pay for travel and pay for the expense if one of our employees has to go to another state for this women's reproductive health care, I mean killing a baby, then you need to be aware of that, Remnant. We all need to be aware of that. And are we going to support that? Are we going to spend our money with that company that supports that murder? I forget where it is in the Bible. One of you men probably know where it is, but it talks about the those that live ungodly and do ungodly, and those that support them, those that approve of it, and they're just as guilty as the ones doing it. And so we, like was said, we need to, you know, look more to buy local, whether it's eggs or milk or you know. I gotta think, I hope that buying something made in America is better than buying something that's made in China. It's almost impossible to do today because so many of our tools, auto parts, clothing is and has been outsourced. So it's a difficult thing to do, but I think we should do what we can where we can in regards to that.
Well, that Gog and Magog and Ezekiel is pretty well understood as China and Russia. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, you know, with this division that's coming in the banking system like that, you know, China owns a tremendous amount of stuff in America. And I think, you know, I got to thinking about that. You know, they're going to come and take dominion of it, and when they do, I think they're in trouble. But I just see the mechanics of it. It just dawned on me the other day, because China owns a lot of stuff. They own Smithfield, aeronautics things. I read a list of like 20 things, major corporations that China owns. So Speedway gas station, I don't know if you got them there, but they're owned by Japan. I mean, this country was sold out a long time ago. And you think your old conservatives, Bushes and all them jackasses, they sold us out big time. They got their reward, their money and stuff, but it don't do them any good after they quit breathing.
Amen to that.
You're talking about, Jason, what's going on around us. Another thing, this year we've seen, I'm going to say, a big uptick in the amount of gardens that have popped up here and there. You know, that's kind of a, you know, kind of cycle. But we do live in a rural area, and in 2020 we had a lot of gardens, and then kind of fell off. And then, but again, this year, and we're just listening to a man talking the other day and just explaining to a group of people how much you can produce in a small section of good ground if you take care of it. And you give it attention every day. And so that's something that is definitely a blessing for our people. is to return to that ground and to fellowship with God whenever we're working that ground and cultivating and seeing that produce, because you know we can plant and water and do everything, but without Him, it's not making nothing.
Yeah, I know we see the same thing going on around here. I mean, it's you know, and that's one of the reasons that we've been pushing these you know, gardening books and whatever you want to call it, regenerative agriculture. But you know, stuff that basically some of them are really basic for a lot of people, but a lot of people don't have those basics, and people are starting from scratch, so to speak. We've got a lot of that around here. And people that are learning to do that, people that are learning to can, people that are learning to, you know, take care of bees and putting up beehives.
Yes.
So that's something that that you've been involved with, Josh. But it's they have some beekeeping classes, basically, you know, starting from the beginning out here, and they're all booked up. I mean, it's like you can't even get a spot in one of those classes around here, and. You see a lot of different stuff like that. I mean, people are basically, it's, you know, they want to be independent. They want to be self-sufficient. And, you know, that's a biblical principle. And it's, you know, people are realizing that, hey, some of this stuff might come in handy in the future, and they're wanting to learn these things. So, you know, it's you know, there was the prepper movement that came in, and you know, a lot of those people you really could laugh at, but you know, they've come a long ways. And one of the things that I've noticed is it might be a stepping stool, and it, you know, they realized, you know, some things, and they used it, and or God used it to bring them, you know, along the path. Then they got to the point where they realized, it's like, hey, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, but, you know, I can't do anything without God. And they've realized that. So it's exciting to see. You know, and it's you know, people that, it's exciting to see even people that are, you hear about it, you know, that are living in town, and they're putting a garden in or a tower garden in their backyard or on their front porch or something like that. But, that is pretty neat. I would agree with you.
Well, there's something about doing something with your hand, whether it's building a house or growing a garden or just you doing it yourself. It's just a great reward to sit back and watch it grow. And it's just something rewarding about doing something yourself with your own hands, you know, and having a job in a corporation, go down to the grocery store, and you know, them days are coming to an end, I think, because the supply chain is drying up seriously fast.
Yeah, and that's what it's pretty evident whenever you drive in front of the car dealership and you know, see that a dealership that used to have hundreds of vehicles and it's got a handful of vehicles that they're trying to strategically place and still make it look like there's cars out there on the lot, but they're not there. And same thing, you know, and I know y'all continue to see it, but the food production facilities around the country continue to drop off like flies, and that can't keep happening like it's happening without affecting the infrastructure for sure.
Yeah, that's, I think, a huge thing that kind of ties both those together. My thoughts is that, like you said, Paul, when you do things, when you build a house, when you plant a garden, it's not just, you're not just done in 3 minutes. You know, it takes time. And it kind of gets you back to, I think, especially in the garden, seeing things coming up. We've got lettuce mix in our hoop house, and it's only about an inch tall. You know, I'd sure like to have some lettuce right now out of it, but it's going to be another few weeks before it grows and is edible. And it's almost like it gets you back into God's timing that, you know, wait on the Lord. And, you know, with a garden, you have to do that. You have to wait on it because it produces when it produces. And that mentality is away from our people. They want it right now. And so, you know, they, you know, when we see a refinery fire down on the Gulf, or a offshore oil rig burn or something like that, and gas prices jump 50 cents a gallon, you know, that's just the enemy playing that. And with these food distribution facilities, we're running a little, just a little note in the next newsletter that we're working on, volume 6 of the Dragon Slayer, about that very thing. The media says, oh, it, you know, it just, it, there's nothing to it. Don't worry about it. And so many people in this country, if they don't see an immediate reaction, you know, an immediate reaction, oh, you had a food production facility burn, and all of a sudden I can't get, like when all those, what was it, that one company that sold 3 million eggs a day here in the, here it is, Forsman Farms, sells more than 3 million eggs a day. Had a blaze over the last weekend in May. Well, when the people read that, then they go to the store and there's still eggs in the store. Oh, no big deal. And so many, they're just for the now, just right now. And they don't realize the impact that those things are having, and the building that they're, you know, that it's building up to. It's not just one or two, but dozens, hundreds, at least since August of 19, that has happened. And it's a storm brewing. It is a perfect storm brewing, that again, the enemy is fomenting and putting in place and thinking they've got it all figured out, and our God sits in the heavens and laughs and says, yeah, take him to the Red Sea and I'll take it from there. And I think that like I've said before, I can see the seagulls, I can smell the salt marsh. I think we are fast approaching that Red Sea here in America.
You can hallucinate, Richard. You live a long ways from the ocean.
Let me tell you, there's seagulls here. Why, I don't know. There was a dead pelican on the side of the road last week. Between here and Laramie, a dead pelican. I don't know. I don't remember ever. Jason, you grew up here. You ever remember seeing pelicans in Laramie?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them around there, and some of the by the lakes and stuff.
Yeah, maybe I've just missed them, but I've sure seen them. Big old white, yellow beaked birds, anyway, yeah. It just. But you're right, Paul. We are a few miles from the ocean, but I think I smell that Red Sea. I think that
you do.
That we're getting close. I do.
Well, it's exciting times. It's exciting times for us if we got our head on right. And I'm not saying I got mine on right all the time, but when I sit back and think about it, yeah, I do, because I've been waiting for Babylon to fall for a long time, and I don't want it to stop. So. The one thing about God, there's no voids. Something's going to replace it. You got any idea what it's going to be? His kingdom.
You know, I hope so. I hope as people are, you know, seeing these things happen, that, and I know they are, that, you know, they turn back, like we mentioned about Asa earlier. You know, that there is, when we turn back to God, when we get rid of the influences of the East and the high places and the foreign altars and their sacred pillars and things like that, that, you know, they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And it says, so the Lord gave them rest on every side. And, you know, Pastor brought that out many times in his kingdom messages, that when we do this individually, well, we have a, you know, we can enjoy a part of the kingdom, not the perfected kingdom, but a part of it. And and Asa and the people of Judah, their kingdom was undisturbed when they walked in the ways of the Lord. They did. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Go ahead, Paul, a closing comment.
No, I'll do another time.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, we are all but out of time. Anybody else? Well, I guess not. Well, thanks. Interesting times. Times to be a prayer warrior, okay? And if you don't know how to do that, you contact any of us, man, and we'll do our best to get you on that path and to help you out with that. And we do want to invite you. Hey, it's a holiday weekend. Monday's July 4th. Big hot dog, hamburger, beer drinking weekend, I know, for almost everybody. But don't forsake the assembly. We are going to be at church tomorrow morning, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And so we invite you there, 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we're doing a little tag team. Going to have a little bit of everything for you tomorrow. And so we encourage you to come and take a couple hours out of your busy week, your demanding week, and gather with like-minded Christians to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and to honor Him and to praise Him and to learn from His Word, as hopefully we're all doing. And so, again, thanks for joining us, men. Hope you have a great weekend, and Remnant, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.